Good morning and welcome once again to Studies in the Gospels right here on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McElyea, your host of this program where each week we take a look at the life of Christ as found in the four Gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We are in a portion of our study that we are referring to as the Year of Development in Jerusalem, and today we're going to be in John chapter 7 and verse 17 as we consider the manifold evidence. John 7 and verse 17 says, "If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority." Now the evidence for Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, is manifold. We have the testimony of many witnesses. We have the testimony of John the Baptist. In John chapter 5 and verse 33, "You have sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth." Chapter 1 and verse 29, "The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" And in John chapter 1 and verse 34, he said, "And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God." So we have the testimony of John the Baptist as evidence, but we also have the works or miracles that Jesus did himself. Chapter 5, verse 36, "But I have a greater witness than John's, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me." Chapter 2 and verse 11, "The beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him." In John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, "And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." We have the testimony of God himself also. Chapter 5, verse 37, "And the Father himself, who sent me, has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form." And then we have the accounts of the baptism of Christ and the transfiguration. Let's go to Matthew 3, 16 and 17. "And when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" Matthew 17 in verse 5, at the Transfiguration, "While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud, saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him.'" We have the testimony of the Old Testament Scriptures. John 5:39, "You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me." Recall the prophet Isaiah in chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So we have the Old Testament prophets, but also we have the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, which was attested to by eyewitnesses. And this gives us further evidence that Jesus is indeed the Christ. Romans chapter 1 and verse 4, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of his holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. John chapter 20 and verses 24 through 29, we see the eyewitness account of Thomas. Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days his disciples were inside again, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here, and look at my hands, and reach your hand here, and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus offered another proof that he is from God. And that's where we're going today. This came at a time when many was questioning who he was. So now, in John chapter 17, let's go to verses 12 through 15, right before our text. "And there was much complaining among the people concerning him. Some said, 'He is good.' Others said, 'No, on the contrary, he deceives the people.' However, no one spoke openly of him for fear of the Jews. Now about the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, 'How does this man know letters, having never studied?'" But what we're going to see there is that if you are willing to do God's will, you will know his doctrine is from God. Now let's go to verses 16 and 17. "Jesus answered them and said, 'My doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority.'" This is a remarkable claim by Jesus, and it is certainly worthy of our examination. So let's look at this claim now. First, we see that one must be willing to do the Father's will. There has to be a willing heart on the part of an individual, and there has to be a good and noble heart. The willing heart, the good soil, Luke chapter 8 and verse 15. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. They must have a heart willing to examine the scripture carefully, like those of Berea in Acts 17 and verse 11. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness, and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. A willing heart, a good and noble heart, especially an humble heart that fears God. The 25th Psalm in verse 19 says, "The humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way." And just a few verses later in verse 12, "Who is the man that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way he chooses." There must be obedience from the heart. Such is that obedience that is found in the Christian home. Romans 6 and verse 17 says, "But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered." We must have the kind of obedience that will appear in all aspects of our service. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 6 says, "Not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." And Colossians 3 and verse 23, "Whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men." J.W. McGarvey long ago wrote here, he said, "Those who would test the divinity of the doctrine of Christ cannot do so by rendering a mere mechanical obedience to his teaching. A willing, heartfelt obedience is essential to a true knowledge of his doctrine. Such a disposition makes a good and honest heart in which the seeds of his kingdom must inevitably grow." If one is willing to do his will, one will know his doctrine is of God. They will know that Jesus' teaching comes from above. John chapter 12 and verse 49 says, "For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak." They will know that his teaching is everlasting life. John chapter 12 and verse 50 says, "And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak." Albert Barnes here noted, he said, "He shall have evidence, in the very attempt to do the will of God, of the truth of his doctrine." But what kind of evidence does one receive? Note the words of the prophet Isaiah in chapter 32 and verse 17. "The work of righteousness will be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever." Now, as we consider What is the evidence of this claim of Jesus? One place that we see it is in a peace that surpasses understanding. Jesus offered this peace to his disciples. John chapter 14 and verse 27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Also, chapter 16 and verse 33, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." As we do the Father's will, as taught by Jesus, we experience such a peace. And we see that in as the result of our justification in Christ. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." We see it in the prayer for faithful Christians. Romans 15 and verse 13, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." In 2 Thessalonians 3:16, "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all." And we see this as the fruit of the Spirit lives in the life of a Christian. Galatians 5:22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness." Also, we see the response to prayer. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Such peace, when experienced, confirms Jesus' doctrine as being from God. There is peace, and there is an assurance that calms the heart. Jesus offered assurance to his disciples. John 14 and verse 27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." John 16 and verse 33, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." As we do the Father's will, as taught by Jesus, we experience this assurance. It also comes as we love the brethren in deed and truth. 1 John 3, verses 18 and 19. "My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him." Paul expressed these same sentiments. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I've committed to him until that day. Romans 8, verses 38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Such assurance, when experienced, confirms Jesus' doctrine as being from God. But now, there must be a word of caution regarding this claim of Christ. A word of caution for when there is no peace or assurance. When there is no peace or assurance, it is not evidence that Jesus' doctrine is not from God. It could be that we may not have done the Father's will yet, or we may not have done the Father's will from the heart. It may not be evidence that we failed to truly do the Father's will at one time. Our faith may yet be weak. It may need to grow. It could be that our faith has become hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Notice Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. But also remember a warning for where there is peace and assurance. We should not trust in that evidence alone. Many people believe they are saved by their feelings. They might construe this as the ultimate proof of salvation. But our hearts can easily be deceived. There are ways that seem right, but may lead to death. Proverbs 16 and verse 25, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. We know that it is not in man to direct his footsteps. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. We must always be open to the Word of God. Let it be the Word of God which produces the feelings in us, so it is faith and then feelings. And never let our feelings reject the Word of God, because it is not feelings and then faith. So, as we wrap things up today, the evidence is manifold. The proof can further confirm a faith that is based upon the more objective evidence. Proof that, if lacking, it should be a sign our faith needs work or more diligence. It is a diligent faith, willing to do the will of God, that produces a full assurance. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 11. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. The question today is, are you willing to do the Father's will from the heart? The blessings of peace, assurance, and confirmation that Jesus' doctrine is truly from God awaits those who obey His will. I want to thank you for joining me today, and we'll continue our studies next week. Remember, this program will be replayed this evening at 11 p.m. and posted to the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website in a day or so. So if the Lord wills, we'll see you again next week at this same time for another edition of Studies in the Gospels right here on the Gospel Radio Network. So long, and have a great day.